Hey everyone, Rob Wolf here from The Loan Factory, and you're watching my YouTube channel, The Lone Wolf Podcast, or you're listening to this on the podcast of the same name, The Lone Wolf Podcast. I have to warn you, if you're listening to this on my podcast, it might be difficult because I am going to switch screens and go to an Excel spreadsheet. So I encourage you to look me up on the YouTube channel at The Lone Wolf Podcast, and that's loan spelled L-O-A-N as in borrow money, i.e. a mortgage. So you can reach me at rob.wolf@loanfactory.com, or the best and my favorite is the phone, 727-366-5722. I'm in the ABC business. Always be communicating. I'm not a bank. So you can catch me after 5 o'clock and on the weekends and sometimes even on vacation. So I am a licensed loan officer. Did you know that not everyone is a licensed loan officer? So double check and make sure your loan officer is licensed. I am licensed in Colorado, where I vacation every year, Pennsylvania, where I grew up, and Florida, where I live, just outside of Clearwater. This podcast is just me, but if you want to be on here sometime, want to be a guest, and you're in the real estate, world, whether it's a realtor, insurance agent, title, anything like that, let me know. And we could tailor it towards your business. And then I can send you the copy and you could use it on your own company's website and promote your business. So I put these out on Wednesdays, not every Wednesday, but every 2 to 4 weeks, I'll put one out there at 9 o'clock. But like I said, if you miss an episode, just go on Google and do their search engine at The Lone Wolf Podcast, and I'll come up and you can look at old episodes. So this episode, video, whatever you want to call it, I might upset some people at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, the government, and it could also be lenders or fellow loan officers that I upset, because the gist of this, I'm going to talk about three things, but I want to focus on, just because you're approved for a certain amount of money to borrow, I'm going to open your eyes. If this is your first time going out for a home or it's been a while, there's a lot of expenses out there that you need to be conscious of. And before you know it, you're not going to have much money left over at the end of the month. Okay. And I'll go through that exercise, but I'm going to talk about that. You know, the amount of debt that you can carry, which I personally think is way too much, in my humble opinion. I'm more of the conservative nature, and I think this is one of the reasons why we got caught up in the 2008 crisis. We're not there yet. Let me just say that this is not that egregious, but they are lending or allowing more debt than I would feel comfortable with. And I'll talk about mortgage insurance and also life insurance. So let's talk about that. So mortgage insurance, for those that are unaware, you have to pay as part of your mortgage payment a certain amount of money if you did not put 20% down on the property. Reason being is, God forbid, and let's assume in this exercise that it's a dual income household. So both parties, I am using their income to qualify for a mortgage. Okay. So God forbid one person loses their income. Well, that other person is not going to be able to afford the mortgage. And they might end up going into default. And so there would be a foreclosure. Okay. So that's why people that have less than 20% down, they have to pay a certain amount of mortgage insurance so that the lender has this pool of money to cover expenses. So why is it more or less money for people? Let me back it up a little bit. I kind of got tongue-tied there. If you don't put 20% down, that's not a lot of equity. So let's say we have a $500,000 property. You put 5% down. That's $490,000 mortgage. If after 2, 3, 4 years, you know, you can't pay the mortgage and you end up defaulting, Well, you're not going to have much equity built into the house because, for those that are unaware, the bulk of the beginning of your years is mostly interest payments. So instead of $490,000, you may have $480,000, $485,000 in equity. But if the bank has to put it up for sale, they have to maybe make some repairs. They may have to get stuff out of the house. They're going to have someone take care of the grounds. They may take a loss. They may have to sell the property for $490,000, $480,000 minus all those expenses. So you understand that's why you pay a certain amount of money to the lender. Now, if you put 20% down, that'd be a $400,000 mortgage. So we go back to the original example. The bank doesn't care. You put $100,000 in. If you default and they have to pay attorney's fees to take this through the court system and pay a realtor and some maintenance, they could sell the property for $450,000, $440,000 and still make a profit. Okay, so my point being is, mortgage insurance does nothing for you. It protects in case of a foreclosure. But regardless of the time that you miss payments on a mortgage, whether it's the third year or the 23rd year, you could lose everything. Okay, now chances are, if you're 10, 15 years into a mortgage, you're probably going to refinance. And if you're 8, 10 years into a mortgage and all of a sudden you lose your job, you're probably going to sell the house before it gets to foreclosure. But my point being is, mortgage insurance protects the lender. It does nothing for you. Okay. That's where, in some cases, life insurance could be a savior. There's also mortgage protection insurance out there, but in this example, I want to use life insurance because, God forbid, it's a dual income family and someone passes. At least with life insurance, if the person that passes gives to the beneficiary, in our example, $500,000, they can at least pay off the house and not have to be forced into foreclosure. So if the couple are married, they don't have to be married. They take out a life insurance policy for each other. If you have children, especially, you want to get life insurance because life insurance takes care of problems. It's an insurance against that catastrophic problem. Okay, so I can't stress enough about that. So let's go back to our original discussion of the amount of debt that one can carry to get pre-approved, but they're still going to have other expenses. So let me back it up a little bit for those that are unaware. This is your first time looking at homes or what have you. A typical scenario is you're going to fill out an application and send that to me. And part of that application, I'm going to ask for your pay stubs, your bank statements, maybe 401k, stock statements if you have that, and taxes, and I'm going to run credit. And I'm going to see how much debt you have, okay, against your gross monthly income. And then I'll be able to decide, oh, okay, yes, John and Jane, they can get pre-approved for this amount of money. So I type up a letter, and you take that letter to your realtor or the next realtor, and it shows that you're pre-approved. And so that now they know you've gone through the process and you're legitimate that you can purchase that property. Okay. So what I'm going to do now, I'm going to put my glasses back on. So excuse the glare. I'm going to go to an Excel spreadsheet. Now my picture is going to be in the lower left. So I'm going to try to remember to scroll up, but bear with me. Let me find that Excel spreadsheet. And we'll go through our example. Now, this couple, we're going to say they're pretty successful, okay? They've got an annual salary of $144,000 between them. That means a $12,000 gross income, you know, 144 divided by 12. And the debt allowed is $5,400. So what does that exactly mean? $5,400 is the most money that you can borrow to get pre-approved. And what I mean by borrowed, and you can see below, it's the mortgage plus your other bills that come up on your credit report. Okay. But before we go there, look to the right in columns E, F, G, and H. Okay. We're going to assume that John and Jane Doe are responsible and they are contributing to their 401k 10%. I've gone over this before with other people. Always pay yourself first. Before you know it, 65 will be here. I'm not there yet, by the way, but it'll be here. Okay, so pay yourself first. So really, their gross income is $129,600. Their federal tax rate is 25.2. So really, their take-home pay is $96,941 a year. Monthly, it's $8,078. Now, I want to say a few things here. This does not count any – well, we don't have state income tax in Florida, but it doesn't count if you live in a city or a county that has an extra tax. And for some states out there, the state income tax – California is the worst at 13%. But for this exercise, we're just going to stick with these numbers, okay? So just keep in mind that $8,000 because that's how much you have. But I'm going to look at this $5,400, which is 45% of your monthly gross income. Where did I come up with that 45%? That is not a hard number set in stone, okay? But that's about what the number is for conventional loans that someone can carry that much debt with the mortgage and what's on their credit. It, again, it's not set in stone. If someone has a minimum down payment and they don't have a lot in reserves in their savings account, the system may come back lower. When I say system, going back to the application and I get everything, I run your application through a computer software system called Desktop Underwriter, and that will give me an approval or denial. Okay, so sometimes they have that algorithm that's different. It's different for FHA loans, conventional, and VA. But for the sake of this conversation, this exercise, we're going to go with $5,400 is the most. Okay, so we're looking at a property at $500,000, and the couple is putting down 20%, so they don't have the mortgage insurance. Okay, mortgage insurance, don't know if I said it, that ranges anywhere. It could be as little as $30 a month. It could be over $100 a month. Now think about this. Why would it be only 30 compared to someone with $130 a month? Well, if someone, the two big factors are your down payment and your credit score. Okay, so if someone has a 760 credit and they put 15 to 18% down, they couldn't come up with the 20%, they're going to be at that $30. Okay, if someone put 5% down and they have a 640 credit rating, they're going to be paying over $100 a month. Okay. The interest rate now with someone with very good credit with these credentials, 7% for a 30-year single family house, fixed mortgage, your payment is going to be $2,661 a month. Okay. So that leaves us with this $2,739 left over. Okay. But we've got to add some things. For those that don't live in Florida, home insurance is a mess. It's now the most expensive in the country. I have a 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, 1,800 square feet, and I pay $300 a month. This is not, I repeat, not in a flood zone. You can add, I'm guessing, $200 to that if I were in a flood zone. So make sure if you're looking for a place in Florida, keep that in the back of your mind, okay? Real estate taxes, 1.2% of the purchase price. After you get into your house, get homesteaded, so it gets capped how much they can raise your taxes each year. But that's what you have to work with, okay? Here I have an HOA, okay? If you're going to go for a condominium, There are some manufactured home communities, and you know, like even the villages, they have HOAs attached to them. I would have to add that here. In this case, we're going to pretend this is a single family house, no community fees, okay? But these other things are the items that come up on your credit report, okay? And I have to count this. The average car payment, I heard this on the radio, is $689 a month. Let's pretend you're not the average, you're less. And we have two incomes here, so two cars, okay? We're going to put $1,000. Credit card, I'm going to put the minimum. That's what we use, not your regular payment. If you charge $1,000 a month, we don't put $1,000. So we're just going to put $50 a month, okay? And we're going to say you don't have any medical bills or any student loans, okay? But if you do, I would have to count that. And let me talk about student loans. Hold on a second. Excuse me. Student loans, even if you're in bereavement or whatever you want to call it, I, as a loan officer, have to account for 0.5% of your student loan payment. Okay, so keep that in mind, that if you got, you know, $100,000 in student loans, I'd have to put $500 down there a month. Okay, but we're not going to do that for this exercise. So when we go through this, you've got $889 left. So you would get a pre-approval letter from me. That would be okay. But here's where I want to make sure that you follow this through. And let me say this. If you're a first-time homeowner and your loan officer hasn't gone through this with you. Now, I'm not saying in the detail that I'm doing it with you, but if he or she has not told you to account for other expenses, then shame on them. And I can almost guarantee if you are listening to this as a first-time homebuyer, I bet you 80% of you, your loan officer, did not go through this. Okay, but fortunately you're watching, so now you're going to be educated. Okay, so let's go over some things that you need to account for that are not on your credit, but you're still going to be paying on a monthly basis. So car insurance, that's another joke down here in Florida. As an analogy, I have a car 11 years old, 242,000 miles, costing me $150 a month. Okay. I'm not saying you should drive a car like mine. It looks good. Don't get me wrong, but not many people ride their cars so they die like I do. So we're going to say two cars, that's $400 a month. Your water bill is going to be about $50 a month. Mine's 45, but two people, it might be $60 a month. But anyway, $75 a month for phone bills for the two of you. Okay, gas. It's over $3 a gallon, $3.50 a gallon. Let's say $50 a week each. That's $100 a week for both of you. That's $4.50 a month between the two of you, okay? Internet and cable, we'll say $100. That might get your premium channel here or there. Trash, you're going to pay. I pay $35 a month. It's once a week pickup. Okay, food, grocery bills. I'm going to say conservative, $75 a week each. So that's $150. I'll do the math real quick. Times 4.5. I think it's like $675. Yeah, $675. Okay. Utilities. It's mostly electric down here, all electric, because they can't run the gas pipes because of soil and everything. Like there is some gas. But let's just say you're going to average $300. And that's safe. I will say this though, I have friends in the summertime well over $450. I have solar, so that's I'm much lower than this. But anyway, so we're down to $1,400. But wait, there's more. If you notice, I didn't factor in what is your total credit card that you're going to be charging? Okay, I'm going to keep it blank because you may be using your credit card to pay for the cell phone, the gas station, you know, whatever it may be. Clothing. We'll say you're spending $100 a month in new clothes, you know, whatever it may be. And that can be very low for some people. Car repairs, I'll go very conservative and say $50 a month. And when I say car repairs, that means an oil change, tires, brakes. If you have a transmission go out, air conditioning, stuff like that, that gets even pricier, but we'll keep this relatively low. I'm going to do this real quick here. Home repairs. I'm going to put, and this is going to be a conservative number, $400 a month. Where do I come up with that? The general guideline for home ownership, you're going to spend 1% to 3% of the value of your property every year. $500,000, 1% of that is $5,000 a year. Divided by 12 is almost $400. So give this some thought because you may be thinking $400 a month, no way. A new roof is $15,000 and you have to get one every 20 years down here. If you have a pool, you're going to be spending $50-$60 a month easy on chemicals. Your pool pump's going to go every 3 to 5 years. Are you going to have yard maintenance? Someone's going to cut your lawn? A pool boy? Come and fix it? How about your appliances? How about your furniture? How about new windows? Paint? Flooring? Okay, all these things, you know, start thinking about that because when you were in an apartment, you didn't have to pay for that stuff. Now this is part of home ownership. And if it's a single family house, you're gonna have shrubbery, landscaping, tools, a lawnmower, if you want to cut your own lawn. So anyway, keep these in mind. Okay, going out to eat. Our country, you know, personally, people go out to eat way more than they have to. I love cooking myself, but let's just say you go out once a week. $100, the two of you. That's $450 a month. You're left with $257. I have entertainment and credit card blank. Okay. Entertainment being you want to go to the movies, that's $50. You want to go to a sporting event? Well, kiss that $257 goodbye. Anyway, I think you get my point that the lending companies, mortgage people, they don't go through this stuff. And they want to, I guess, dump it on you, buyer beware. But hopefully I showed you some things to consider when you want to go into home ownership. And it could be a condominium you want to go into. But like I said, you've got the HOA, some other fees to consider. So keep that in mind. And like I said, last but not least, you know, think of the catastrophic situation where if something happens to one of the people contributing to the mortgage that they pass on. You know, that person left behind, if there's no life insurance, they're going to be forced to sell the house, get married real quick, or get a roommate real quick or something. They're just going to be in a tough spot. So anyway, that is my video for the evening. I went a little above the 20 minutes. We're pushing 25 minutes, but hopefully this was educational. And like I said, if you have any questions, give me a call, 727-366-5722, or just put a comment line in there, and I'll get back to you ASAP. All right, folks, have a great evening, and I'll catch you next time. Take care.